Back together again, you and I chatting it up on a midweek Wednesday edition, March 26, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I open the show wondering if society in general is giving legal marijuana use too much leeway in creating a far bigger problem. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by this time to talk about a proposal gaining steam in Hartford to boost public sector union membership in Connecticut. And finally, Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor Dan Haar talked about a number of subjects, including his piece on fears he heard from an acquaintance of his, a Tesla driver, connected to possible violence and vandalism as he shops for a new Tesla. So on my day off yesterday to go see the latest play, my son is a technical person on Smash on Broadway, the Imperial Theater. Had front row seats, by the way, last night. That was kind of good. So I'm walking around the theater district in Manhattan yesterday. And, you know, it's in Midtown, so we're walking, you know, in the 40s and upper 30s or whatever. And it took me about 20 minutes. And not that I don't know the area well, because you know I do, and, you know, I have another gig where I was going into New York City pre-COVID numerous days a week, but I'm still doing that remotely from my home. But it took me about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm suddenly asking myself, is everybody smoking pot? Now, again, having said that, I smoked a lot when I was in college. I smoked a lot when I got out of college for a couple of years. Then I just said, I said to myself, maybe it's time to stop taking chances when you're driving, and maybe it's time to become an adult. Of course, now we have adult-use recreational marijuana. But I got to tell you, I'm walking around in New York yesterday going, why do all these people feel the need to get high? I mean, you know, people would it not look weird if everybody in Midtown, I shouldn't say everybody, but enough people in Midtown, because I don't think they do, because I don't think it's legal, was drinking out of a brown paper bag. So it hit me yesterday. We have now in society, because we're so upset that certain people were over-policed. Now we went to some sensible laws to lunacy. But the bigger question I have is this, and we'll start with this at 333-9422. 333-WICC. Can somebody please explain to me, and I'm being dead serious about this, because now we have another proposed law in Connecticut to further expand marijuana and THC and all that stuff. Why do so many people find the need to get high? Can somebody please explain this to me? I know some people use it for glaucoma. I know some people use it for anxiety. I know some people use it for back pain. But come on. I swear, it was a nice day yesterday with a nice wind blowing in New York. And I'm walking, you know, in the space of two or three blocks, I've got a good contact high going. It's like those old concerts I used to go to in the 70s and 80s at the New Haven Coliseum. Or the Hartford Civic Center. You walk in and there's the cloud. Just sit back. There you go. Nobody cared about secondhand smoke that night. But can somebody please explain this to me? Honestly. Why do so many people feel the need to get high? And please, if you're going to call me with the, well, alcohol, I don't care. We're not talking about alcohol right now. Do you understand? How many times am I going to have to say this? We're not talking about alcohol. Alcohol is different. It's water-soluble versus fat-soluble. It leaves your body much more quickly than THC does. And look, I understand that a lot of this stuff is legal now in a lot of states. I get that. I understand it. But you know what I like to do? I like to look at these issues from the other side. And I'm walking in Midtown yesterday, and I swear, in the space of 3 or 4 minutes, five or six people walk by me, and I got to say, are these cigarettes? No, they're not. It's weed. I understand there's legal, you know, aspects of that in all these states. I get it. Why the need to, in the middle of the day on a work day, what's the need to get high? Can somebody explain that to me? And I know what you may say, well, to each his own. I get it. I'm not telling people not to do that. But I'm looking at this from the other side of this. On a Tuesday afternoon, and you're obviously in a work suit or a business attire, women's business dress or a pantsuit, and you're out in the middle of lunch and early in the afternoon, and you're getting high. Really, why is that? I'm not saying you can't get high, but in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, on a beautiful early spring afternoon, where you're ostensibly either going to go back to the office or get on mass transit, then maybe get into your car. Explain this to me, please, because I don't get it. I don't get it. I was literally getting a contact high walking on the streets of New York yesterday. Are people's lives that empty? Are people so stressed out that they have to introduce a substance into their body which alters your mind? It does. I don't care what anybody says. Well, it's kind of relaxing and it's no different than a beer. No, it's different than a beer. It's different than a beer. They work on different levels in your body. I understand that that's what you may want, but... And I don't need to get a dossier from you about the health benefits, the suspected health benefits of THC and marijuana. But just, I'm asking a simple question. Why? 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 In the middle of the day on a work day, I'm getting passed by people left and right smoking weed. Are they that stressed out? Are they that angry? I don't know about you. It was a beautiful day yesterday. I didn't need weed to help me enjoy the day. I didn't. It was a nice breeze, nice sunshine, perfect temperature. The streets weren't crowded with their usual number of sickos. There was some mumbling, drooling sickos out there, but I kept my distance. But the whole thing of marijuana now being almost substituted for cigarettes, can somebody please explain to me what's up with that? So are too many people smoking pot? And I don't mean to be pedantic in asking that, but my God, I'm walking in Midtown yesterday in Manhattan, and about every other person's got some weed going there and blowing it around. That's some good stuff right there. And now I'm reading here in the state, hemp farmers who suffered economically under state laws, now we're going to let them cultivate marijuana. More and more and more and more marijuana. What is up with this? And are we already at a, because you're starting to see articles about this now, are we already at a point where we're like, hey, we got to pump the brakes on this? But please explain to me the need to smoke pot in the middle of the day on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Midtown, where a lot of these people I see with the old doobie going there, flapping out of the lips, are in business suits and business attire. Again, I know it's legal. I get it. But really? In the middle of the day? Are you that cranked off about going home to your old lady or old man that you got to get high? You got to tie a buzz on to do this? Really? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Text or call. Again, you can text me on that as well at 203-333-9422. Listen, as my people like to say, so it's each his own. I mean, to each his own, I get it. But in the middle of the day, well, Paul, you're being judgmental. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Especially in the middle of the day when I'm thinking, well, you're probably going to, at some point in the day, if you're commuting, you're probably going to be driving a motor vehicle. either later in that day or the next morning, maybe with the kids. You know, THC stays in your body much longer than alcohol does. And again, I am not saying people shouldn't smoke. But you see this growing trend. I mean, here in Connecticut, too. Now they want to let the hemp farmers open up pubs. Enough! Enough with the weed. My God, it's like a freaking sacrament in this state. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the heck with the communion wafers. Let's break out some weed. Oh, my God. Man, oh, man, beautiful day yesterday in the city. It's like I'm walking through a Grateful Dead show. Really? On a Tuesday afternoon? Let's go out for lunch. Let's get a nice sandwich and some weed. Oh, my God. I know it's legal. I get it. And I know some people take it for medical reasons. I get that, too. But other than those reasons, really, in the middle of the day, does your life suck that much? Oh, my God. Let's start off with Maria, who's with us. Maria, hi. You're on WICC. What's up?
Well, I really do think that is nasty smelling. It smells like a desert, and I don't understand why people even get up smoking that junk. They should illegalize it again. Take it out.
So you're smelling it everywhere I am too.
Oh my God, that is so nasty. The clothes even smell like desert. The clothes. You walk in the mall, and all you smell is desert.
Hey, Maria, what is it with people who want to get high? I don't understand it.
I don't understand because I wouldn't want to be high. I want to know what's going on around me.
Maria, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, listen, did I smoke in college? Yes, I did. But I wasn't out driving. I wasn't teaching kids. I wasn't working. I was sitting in my dorm room in Boston, as you would do when you're finally away from home. Hallelujah. And you're getting a little buzz on, that's okay. But my God, every other person almost for a couple of blocks. Really? Come on. Bozzy's here with us. Boz, what's up with you?
Oh, you caught me. I was just holding my breath. Son of a, I feel like George
easy,
Carlin all
easy,
of a sudden.
Easy, easy. But Steve, I'm telling you, I'm in Midtown yesterday. I'm like, come on, it's the middle of the day. What are we doing here?
You are a brilliant talk show host and also a brilliant writer. Now you sketched it out and I'm gonna color it in for you a little bit in a humorous way because whatever. This would be to your description. Now just let me lay it out.
Okay.
A perfect Seinfeld episode. Could you just see Jerry in his apartment?
Come on.
Fill it up. And all of a sudden Kramer opens the door. Jerry, I can't go down the stairs. And now George comes in. Jerry, and then Elaine comes in. My hair is covered with. And the four of them are going on and on. And then George walks in, trying to park my car. The guy walks into me. Everybody's stoned. Jerry, they're stoned out there. What is it with this crazy?
I mean, Boz, middle of the day on a Tuesday.
Come on. You know, but you painted a picture that I think what's happening is because it was, when I smoked pot, I was at the Vibe. I was 52 years old.
Okay.
I was with my brother-in-law.
Okay.
And I said, you know what?
Hey.
I never did it in high school.
Okay.
Here I go.
Yeah.
Tog.
Yeah.
And I walked home and I was mumbling something. That was it. But I think because it was taboo, you had this shit, that now because it's, you know, if we're going to make something legal and whatever, why don't we just go with the no shirt law on a hot humid day? That might be a little more entertaining. But I think that's the thing, because it was, like you said, in the dorm room, and the guys in the suits, they like to think, look at me, I got my GQ 12-piece suit on, and look at, I got this nasty look. Maria hit it just right with the desert, and here's this ugly-looking thing sticking out of my mouth. But look at my look.
You're right. Boz, you're right, and I do have to run. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, guys are walking past me. Obviously, you know, I'm saying to myself, that suit's not off the rack. That's either handmade or at least hand-cut, hand-tailored after you got the basic suit off the rack. And in middle of the day yesterday in the Big Apple, and I'm meeting my son and his mom for lunch, and then we go get the front row seats to Smash. But Smash, half the people I saw yesterday were smashed. Can we pump the brakes on the weed here? But my overriding question here is, why do so many people feel the need to get high? And I know what you're going to say. Well, it's the same as drinking. It's not. You can have a glass of wine. You can have a beer at dinner. And if you're consuming enough food and it's only one drink, you know, you're not legally intoxicated. But, man, you suck down that joint. No, you're not driving on the way home. Now, right now, though, we usually have her on yesterday, but I wasn't here yesterday. So I talked to the executive producer of the show, who happens to be me, and said, should we have her on Wednesday? I said, sure, why not? Megan Portfolio here. She writes the Hartford Portfolio at the Yankee Institute. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited! They let you back out of New York. I thought for sure the progressives would have locked you up.
Yes, I was not with my usual crowd yesterday, but I had a very nice time. It was good. It was very good.
I'm glad you made it out alive.
Well, you know, I've been doing most of the show here, saying that it was actually a nice day, except for everybody smoking weed in the middle of the day. What's up with that? I don't know about you, Megan. I don't usually light up a blunt in the middle of the afternoon, but that's just
Talk about killing your productivity.
Nothing I would know about. Hey, you as you have been known to do, you're looking at numbers. You're looking at stats regarding public sector, meaning state and municipal union membership in Connecticut. And did I see where you said that's slipping a bit? What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. So I have some good news and bad news. The good news is it is slipping. It's slipping from its high from 2020 down 13%. Mm-hmm. At one point, was last year, we were the number one for most government union workers in the whole country. And we're such a small state, so that's kind of makes me concerned. But yeah, so we are number two. We are the number two highest in public sector union membership in mm-hmm. the country. And our good old friends in the labor committee, you know, they can't have any of that because apparently the labor bosses and the organizers just aren't really doing their job very well and aren't mm-hmm. able to recruit the members. But our government is going to do it for them mm-hmm. on our dime. So thank goodness for that. So the labor committee put in a bill to put temporary workers into the hands of the unions without any kind of like organizing. Like typically, you know, they have an election,
sure,
organizing
yeah,
involved.
Yeah.
They have to like work for it. Oh no, they're making it so easy for the unions. They're just going to put in a bill and you can't really force government workers to be in a union because of the Janus versus AFSCME Supreme
yeah.
Court ruling that
yeah.
says you can't force them, but they're automatically going to be in the union unless they opt out of it, which is great for the unions because if you're down 13% in the past 5 years, that money is, you know, that's gone. That's money out of their pockets. So this will help their coffers a little bit.
Yeah. And we also had that bill that you probably looked at now, again, if this ever goes to the floor vote, who knows, but you know, the kind of backhanded way, hey, if you're an Uber driver, if you're a DoorDash or Uber Eats or something like that or whatever, they want the drivers here, who, of course, are not unionized, to get it. Well, we just want them to get a better look at a breakdown of what the ride is costing the company and costing them. Well, why are you going to do that? Well, you know. No, we don't.
You know why.
Tell us why.
Well, I mean, because when you door knock for candidates like the unions do, they basically will do whatever you want. So they, instead of going out and doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, like, I'm not opposed to unions in the private sector. You know, if employees get together and their employer, you know, is a bad actor and not paying them or unsafe conditions, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the union's job. These people get paid big bucks to go out and organize, and they're either too lazy or they're just really bad at their job, because apparently the only one that's able to do that now is the Connecticut General Assembly. And it's ridiculous because we're paying for them. And you know how they say, oh, we didn't elect Elon. Well, I didn't elect the union.
Mm-hmm.
So they have too much power. So when I elect my lawmakers, I want them doing things for the whole state, not just spending the entire session doing things to pay back the unions who helped them get elected.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And I have to explain that to people all the time, Megan, and you probably do too. We are a relatively small state with 3.5 million people, but yet we have 151 state house seats, 36 state the Senate seats. So, you know, you do that, math, you got 187 people who run the state. That's fine. In those 187 people, all their districts, it doesn't take, Megan, when you think about it on aggregate, if you run the numbers, it doesn't take that many votes to either get rid of an incumbent or threaten somebody or to move a district. So that's why the union, state and local union voting power in this state is kind of outsized when you look at the numbers there in the breakdown.
Oh, you know, it sure is. And we have this cute thing in Connecticut where it's the citizens election program, mm-hmm. where you have to get a certain amount of signatures and raise a certain amount of money within your district, and then you just get money from the government to run your campaign. Back in the old days, the unions actually had to buy their vote, but now they just have to, you know, make some phone calls and do some door knocking on the weekend. And I see their Facebook posts. It's a lot of fun. They got pizza. You know, they're having a heck of a good time.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But I just wanted to bring up one more point.
Sure,
though.
Absolutely.
Back to this unionizing temporary state workers. This isn't like something happening in the bubble of Connecticut. This is an organized attempt by the progressives and the unions to do this around the country. Mm-hmm. There was a report written by this left-wing organization, the Center for American Progress, Seven Ways State Lawmakers Can Build Public Sector Union Power. Mm-hmm. I'll say that again. Seven ways for state lawmakers and how they can build public sector union power. That's not in their job description.
No, they're taking sides. Yeah, they're taking sides.
Temporary workers getting unionized.
Yeah, and Megan, the thing that bothers me here, and people say, and I get the emails and the calls all the time, you're anti-union. No, that's not necessarily the point. But the point is, where's that extra money coming from? And the fact that these unions, I believe, technically, Megan, cannot go on strike. So what happens? It goes to binding arbitration. So every 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever the cycle is, you and I and Democrats and Republicans, the good taxpayers of this state, get treated like an ATM. Sorry, we want more, so you're paying up.
Oh, yeah, we're not even allowed in the bargaining room. We're paying the bill. And I can FOIA nothing. I can't even FOIA the ground rules for what they're going to, because when they go into negotiations, mm-hmm. they always have these ground rules. I can't even get that information. I'm paying the bill. I'm left out of the negotiations. I get to find out about it after when they decide to release the contract, you know, 24 hours or whatever it is before they vote on it. You know, it's, you know, 1,000 pages that I have to go through, and there's no time for lawmakers to go through it. Mm-hmm. And then the unions say, hey, you better vote for this, you better give us more money, or we'll go to arbitration. And if we go to arbitration, they'll probably give us even more.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We have binding arbitration in this state. In fact, a late uncle of mine, I believe, participated, Megan, in the one of the last, if not the last actual statewide teacher's strike in the late 70s. And that's one of he participated, and they put all these striking teachers on buses, on school buses, and mm-hmm. and drove them to a state park for like one day and kept them there. That was like their jail for one day. Okay, 5 o'clock, everybody can go home. And I think after that is when we got binding arbitration in this state. So it's been there a while. Yeah.
It's been there a long time. That's what's on my like bucket list for the summer, to explore how we got into this whole collective bargaining at the state level. You know, get some good reading in.
Yeah, do that. It'd be a great read. And like I said, I believe the strike was 76, 77, something like that. So that's when I was just a wee tyke back then. So.
Oh, I was like one.
There you go, right? All right, folks, read her stuff. It's at theyankeeinstitute.org. Megan Portfolio and the Hartford Portfolio. Megan, thank you so much for altering your schedule. We'll see you next Tuesday. How's that?
Bye, Paul.
Okay, bye-bye. There you go. Joining us right now, though, his regular Wednesday appearance midweek, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Everything's fine here.
I like great. Great is great. I like that. I like that enthusiasm, Dan.
I'm not getting enough work done, but I'm okay. I'm doing great.
Excellent, excellent. Lot to talk about. Let's start with this, because I think you and I kind of think alike about this. This whole thing about the state saying, hey, these weight loss drugs are costing Medicaid too much, but they work, Dan, and I thought preventative medicine was supposed to hold down excessive costs in the end. So explain this whole thing.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not just Medicaid. It is also $66 million a year for state employees and retirees.
Yeah.
Right? So Medicare is a roughly equal amount and rising. Medicaid has the potential to rise much faster, right? Because right now the state employees plan has, and the teachers, they have that benefit fully locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a number that's been rising from just $12 million a very short few years ago. But nonetheless, the Medicaid number is the one that could conceivably explode. There are two problems with what you described. The first problem is that, yes, when taken for medical reasons for people who are either have diabetes
yep.
or who are obese,
mm-hmm.
Ozempic and Wegovy and the others save money. These are the, what are they called? GLS, GLP?
GLP-1s, yeah.
GLP-1, yeah. But when taken for vanity, right? Like, for example, you know, I'm in good shape. I have no sign of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 60 something years old,
yeah.
And I'm about 20 pounds overweight,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, heading into beach season, I could go take Ozempic and I would look better on the beach.
Yeah.
I would not be healthier. That Ozempic would not make me healthier.
Yeah.
Right. That's the use that they would like to avoid.
Yeah.
And it is, as you obviously know, it is extremely difficult to separate out medical use from non-medical use.
Mm.
When somebody says they have a medical problem, they have a medical problem, right? And the other big issue is that, you know, yes, it's penny wise and pound foolish. I get that it's a little pun that we're saying pound foolish.
Yes,
but it's penny wise and pound foolish. But the bottom line is we can't afford as a society to do all the things that are smart.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's also smart to do 100% child care from birth. If the state took care of child care from birth, that would be a good investment. But we can't afford that investment. So part of it is looking at what you can do, and part of it is attempting to regulate the true medical use mm-hmm. from the non-true.
Also, that was brought up again in the General Assembly the past couple of days, the controversy, Dan Haar, about bears, particularly in Litchfield County, but all over Connecticut. And I get yelled at on social media. I get threats on email about the fact that
there is no way. Let me say, there is no way we should be giving Ozempic to bears. I don't care how overweight they are. We are not giving Ozempic to bears.
I like that. But, you know, the people that are professionals that work for Deep, Dan, you've seen this, are saying, well, people kind of aren't listening here. And meantime, we get a lot more bear encounters than any other state in the region. Other states do a better job at this, but it is a dynamic that is, of course, you and I know, very emotional.
Yeah, the problem we have here is the in-home encounters, right? And Katie Dykes, the Commissioner of Environmental Protection, who happens to be my neighbor, we had a bear in our neighborhood here.
Okay.
Some years ago, I'd say it was four or five years ago.
Yeah.
Right. This at the start of her tenure, I believe it was during COVID. In fact, I know it was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And she was against the bear hunt, and the bear was directly overlooking her house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And her small children were right out there looking at the bear like everybody else.
Oh.
And I said to her, I said, does this mean now that you're going to favor a bear hunt? And she said, no. Right. What changed is not that she's inconsistent.
Yeah.
It is in-home encounters.
Yeah.
That is really serious. Massachusetts, my colleague Ken Dixon wrote in the story in which Katie Dykes testified in favor of a bear hunt, a limited humane bear hunt. Massachusetts has had one home encounter.
Yep.
Connecticut this season, or maybe it was last year, had 65.
Ugh.
Right? Now, a bear that that does not intend to attack and kill somebody when approached inside a house can kill somebody. We haven't had that tragedy yet, and I hope we never do. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, listen, when we walk into our houses, we don't want to have to think about it. So and Massachusetts has the bear hunt. So, but to your point, there are two reasons. There are the three reasons that we might not get it this year. Mm-hmm. One is that the conservation and animal rights community has a point.
Sure.
Right. It's our problem, not the bear's problem. Let's solve our problem by doing everything we can to prevent bear encroachment. Mm-hmm. You know, metal trash, all the stuff we can do with trash and fencing and all that stuff. And the second issue is inertia. And that is the big one in the Capitol. It's very hard, as you know.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get anything done because it requires an affirmative change. If we had a bear hunt and somebody tried to end the bear hunt, we would have the inertia to end it. We wouldn't be able to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And the third issue is that, listen, people just don't like shooting big animals.
Yeah.
And this is not the conservation community. This is the, you know, a lot of, I think it's, is it partisan? Is it Republican, Democrat? I think it is, mm-hmm. but it may be bipartisan.
Might be, absolutely. And finally, you wrote a really interesting piece. You have an acquaintance, anonymous, as you put in the piece, who is a real Tesla devotee, but this person told you, hey, I ain't buying one now. Talk about that.
Well, he has a Tesla Model S. And he's a fanatic Tesla driver, and he's going to get a new Tesla, right? But he was going to go with his wife, as I reported, to Mohegan Sun, where we have the only state dealership, because, as you know, Teslas can't have dealerships in Connecticut.
Yep.
They can have showrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to go to the dealership in Mohegan Sun and spend the night. He probably would have spent hundreds of dollars if he's a Tesla owner.
Yeah.
Maybe thousands. Right. Maybe not gambling, but maybe, you know, on restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
So and he was going to go buy the Tesla this week, next week or this week. And that is when he decided, because of the FBI warning that said, beware of, you know, dangers. I didn't use the word terrorism. The FBI warning did not use the word terrorism.
Yeah.
But it basically said, beware of dangerous people around Tesla dealers. And he decided that that's a legitimate threat, and so he's not going to do it. I personally am inclined to think that while it's abhorrent that people would damage property and mm-hmm. put lives in danger by, you know, in the worst cases, there were incendiary devices found in Austin, Texas, in the Teslas there. But I still don't tend to think of this as a terrorism situation.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, people are simply protesting Tesla. But I think the point is that it is that incendiary. It is that explosive right now that look, we're having a debate. Mm-hmm. Is what the FBI is doing, having a 10-person task force on Tesla protests? I said in the column that I had 2 days ago that is over. That's play acting. There's no need for a task force. We know what the law says. The law says it's in clear black and white. Thou shalt not damage other people's cars. Right? We know the law.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And you don't need a task force for that. But that said, it's a very real thing that's
mm-hmm.
happened.
Absolutely, and it's not a small purchase either. You can read that column of Dan Haar and all the other stuff he's writing. Hearst Connecticut Media, Dan Haar. Dan, thanks. Be good. Watch out for the bears. Don't drive a Tesla. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Any advice on Ozempic?
see if you can get it covered. How's that?
All right.
All right, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate it. There you go. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, right here.